Digital ministry. It's something most churches now do. But how can we know if it's really effective? Well, today's guest has a free tool that can help churches access their digital ministry. Next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. This is episode number 434, I believe, and it's brought to you by DailyDive365.com. Check it out. It's a brand new product out there called DailyDive365.com. Preach once, inspire daily. And this is a great tool that can actually create podcasts for you, can create social media stuff, can create devotional material, and much more. So check it out when you get a chance. Brought to you by DailyDive365.com. And it's us. That's one of our products. All right. Steve Lacy, how are you today?
I'm doing okay.
All right. Good to have you here. We have a guest. But before we get into interviewing our guest, who is returning with us, we interviewed him last year. We have a webinar coming up, and it is going to be June 18th. So that's coming right around the corner here. If you're listening to this before June 18th, we'd encourage you to go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv. The webinar is called The Easy Button for Transforming Sermons into Podcasts. Podcasts are quite the popular thing today. Steve, you've been listening to podcasts for a long time, haven't you?
I have. I used to have a long commute to my workplace, and I joined an audio book club back in mid-90s. Uh-huh. And then when they died, went out, I switched over to podcasts. So I went to audiobooks for a while and then podcasts.
Yeah. All right. Well,
it's been a long time.
Yeah. If you're interested in podcasts, go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv, sign up. It's a free webinar. It'll be about a half hour long with some Q&A after that. And I think you might like it. The easy button for transforming your sermons into podcasts. Also want to remind folks that we are kind of starting a series that we're kind of dropping in and out of the next 6 months or so. It's called Coffee with a Pastor. So if you're a pastor listening, we would be very interested in interviewing you. Or if you want to nominate your pastor to be interviewed on the Church Solutions Podcast, just reach out to us at streamingchurch.tv, and we will interject some of these interviews throughout the year. All right. So enough of this. Let's get on to our guest today. He has a rich 25-year history in Christian media. Brings a wealth of experience to assist church leaders in maximizing their digital ministry's influence. And his global journeys involve collaborating with renowned Christian figures, as well as producing some extensive Christian television content. He's earned some accolades throughout his life doing this kind of work. He's a dedicated Christian media professional, and his primary goal is to empower church leaders to enhance their online presence and outreach. Please welcome from across the pond, Graham Spencer, to the Church Solutions Podcast. Graham, how are you today?
I am very good, thank you. It is lovely to be back with you again. I really love what you guys are doing there at Streaming Church as well. And all of the new things that you're doing sound fascinating as well. When you're doing the introduction there and we're talking about Daily Dive and the One Button podcast thing, I'm like, oh, it sounds really, really interesting. I'll have to check out the information there as well. But yes, I love what you're doing to serve churches in this area as well. It's such an important thing that you do and service that you offer them. So.
Well, thanks, Graham. We appreciate that. We appreciate you and what you've been doing over the years. So Steve's going to ask you some questions, but before, and I'll jump in, of course, to interrupt things and derail the interview. But I do want to start off by, we're going to talk about digital ministry assessment today. And you have a tool out there to help churches really with analytics and understand their get an assessment of what their digital ministry is like. So let me just start off the questions here by asking, first of all, what is this digital ministry assessment thing, and why in the world should I even care about it?
Absolutely. So I think where it really has come from is particularly in the last few years, post-COVID, I've been working with and helping churches figure out digital ministry. You know, the bottom line is, and I know you guys believe this because of what you do, you know, one of the most effective ways of reaching people today is through digital, through online platforms, all of those kind of things. And I think I would say that as a church, if you are not in that space, you are missing a massive opportunity to impact the lives of people. Now, we don't do anything like digital ministry and that for our own benefit. It's about connecting people to the heartbeat of God, Jesus, and all that he has for them. And I think if you're not in that space of digital ministry, then you are missing out as a church. So that's the passion of what I do and why I do it, is really helping churches establish a digital ministry presence and do it well. And where the assessment came from has been through a journey of talking to churches. And frankly, many of them have started in this because of COVID potentially or whatever, but very few of them are really either thought through a strategy or where they want to go with it. And you know, they're doing the same thing that many other churches are doing, and some of it just doesn't work for them. And they're frustrated, and they're wondering why it's not working. So the digital ministry assessment is designed for any church. It's a completely free tool to take the assessment and figure out where they're at in their digital ministry. But not only where they're at now, but also really identify where they want to go to, and then give them some practical things that will help them on their journey. So that's really the heartbeat and passion behind the digital ministry assessment tool that we've developed.
Yeah. I think a lot of churches, like you said, have been kind of thrown into this unwillingly. We had, I think it's just unofficial stats that maybe 20% of the churches were streaming their services regularly prior to COVID. And after COVID, everything flipped. Everyone had to get on board. You're either, like, wow, people can't come into the building anymore. What are we going to do? Everyone's kind of thrown into it. And then now we're several years down the road and people are rethinking their digital ministry, right? There's some that, well, do we need this anymore? My specific pastor, we were streaming prior to COVID, but he's got to the point now where he's getting a little frustrated. So we had dinner with his wife and him, my wife and I, a few weeks ago, and he was like, the people that the part that frustrates him the most, and he called it, is he would stream to the lazy. He would call them the lazy. And so what would you say to that pastor, and how would this assessment, help him?
So I think there's a couple of things that I would say around that. The first thing is that, this is where the assessment really kind of starts, is actually really defining who it is that you want to serve with your digital ministry. And digital ministry is a broad brush thing. So it includes live streaming, but it's not only live streaming. So my whole point is that, even if you're not live streaming, you need to still be in the digital space and communicating with people. So that's the first thing. But so what we'll do is it's a deep dive into who you want to reach with your digital ministry. And I think there is an argument that I've heard about, I've heard churches basically saying, we're going to stop streaming because we want people to come back into the building. We want to discourage the lazy Christians, as it were. Well, the reality is that if your favorite restaurant stops serving takeaway, you are not going to necessarily go to your favorite restaurant more. You're going to find somewhere else that serves takeaway. So I'm not sure that stopping streaming is the answer to bringing people back in the building. Rather, I think what you have to do is you have to work out what's the difference. So what do we offer people that are in the building? What do we offer people that are online? And I think for me, you know, I don't go to church because I want to hear a message or take part in worship. I do all of that. So I'm not saying I don't want to do that, but that's not my primary driver for being in church on Sunday. I can do that from home quite happily. There are plenty of churches that can, you know, I could connect with online and worship and get a great sermon and all of that. I go to church because of the connections that I make and the community that I build. And I think that's where we need to reposition what we're doing appropriately and figure out actually who will be serving here. You know, so lazy Christians, I get that. But by cutting that off, you're not going to make them less lazy. They're simply go somewhere else. So I think what you need to do is you need to say, all right, what is it that we can offer in person and really focus on that as the way of communicating with them?
Yeah. So prior to us getting together, I did go through and do the assessment. Just took a few minutes. And then it puts together a report for me when I'm done. So what, tell me a little bit about what I'm going to, you know, what someone would get out of that assessment.
Absolutely. So it will take around 10 to 15 minutes to do the assessment online. And it really, so there's a little bit of, as it were, you know, demographic data about where you are, who you are, how long you've been in ministry and all of those kind of things. But then you get into the core of the assessment. And the assessment basically walks through five different areas. And there are five questions in each of those areas. And the areas that we look at, we start off with audience. As I said, who do you want to reach with your digital ministry? That's the first question that you need to look at, because everything else comes from there. So the first part is about your audience. The second part then talks about your strategy. What have you got in terms of a strategy for reaching those people? The third part looks at your content and what you're then saying to people, what you're communicating to people. The fourth part looks at the team of people that you have around you and what you need there to actually, you know, deliver a digital ministry. I love to talk about sustainable digital ministry. Well, your team are the people that are going to sustain your digital ministry in the long term. So who do you need around you? And then the final part that we look at is the technology piece. And again, there are five questions in each of these areas. The idea is at the end of that, give us your email address and we'll email you a report based on your specific answers. So you get a kind of grade of bronze, silver, and gold on your overall state of your digital ministry. But then also you get a bronze, silver, and gold in each of the individual areas that we look at. So you can see, actually, I'm weaker over here, stronger over there, or whatever. But then the other thing, I didn't want to just make this as it were, we'll tell you where things are not going so good. But actually what we've done with the tool is in the sections as well, based on where you grade, there are a number of tips and hints of how you can progress things in each of those areas. So it's basically, it's designed not only to assess you, but based on how you've done, to also give you tools that you can then take away and put into action.
Graham, what have you found so far from people taking this assessment? I mean, any surprises, anything like, yeah, I knew that was going to be the case, or something jump out at you from what you've seen so far from these people?
So, yeah, it's been interesting. It has been interesting. The data's been fascinating to look at. So the thing that I have maybe not been surprised by, but it's maybe confirmed my thoughts in the process, is that most churches actually think they've got the technology piece pretty good. The second area that most churches are strongest in is team. Many churches feel that they actually have a strong team of people, good volunteers, all of those kind of things. So they've got a good sense of team. The one area that they're weakest in when it comes to team is training. Very few people seem to have a good training program for their team. Now, we could talk extensively on that as a whole other podcast, that, you know, because I actually believe that's probably one of the biggest areas that most churches need to invest in, is training their team, which is, you know, my passion as well. But then content is the next, and then audience is the kind of fourth best or second weakest, however you want to put that. But the weakest point is strategy. We found consistently very few churches say that they have a really good strategy for how they want to move forward in digital ministry. And that has been surprising, because I'm like, well, to me, it's like, I've got a great analogy. I liken what many churches have done with digital ministry to like going out and buying a sports car, which is the technology piece, filling it with a bunch of people who are engineers who can keep the car on the road and all of those kind of things. But the audience piece is the way you're going, and they don't really know that. And then the strategy piece is the route that you're going to take to get there. And if you don't know either of those two things in depth, do you know, even if you've got the right vehicle, you know, what if your road takes you across rough terrain and you're in a Ferrari? It's never going to cope with that. So it's like, you know, again, it's like looking at the strategy piece and the audience piece is vital to know how to answer the team and technology pieces. So it surprised me that strategy is so low, but also that's really one of the reasons why we developed it, is to help people think more deeply about what they're doing.
Yeah, that's kind of, I kind of smile here as you talk about that, because I can resonate with that. I mean, the fun part, right, is the technology. We're going to get a bunch of new cool toys, and I'm the tech team, and we got to do this, right? So it's, I think a lot of people would fall into that, because it's fun and it's usually pretty easy. And so, yeah, that would kind of identify why those areas would be the good scores. So getting back to my, somewhat frustrated pastor about what he called the lazy. He just, you know, the lazy is kind of defined as, let's just watch in our pajamas today, you know, and that group that's, I guess, one of the audiences, right? Let's talk a little bit more about audiences and what, you know, how to address these different audiences.
So I broadly think that there are three primary audiences that a church needs to consider when it comes to their digital ministry. And there are subsets of these, obviously, but broadly, I will put it into three areas. Now, yeah, one of the things to understand is, depending on how you answer this, it actually then leads into a lot deeper questions and a lot deeper kind of soul searching around what you need to do here. But broadly, let's say there are three audiences. So audience number one is what I would call your maintenance audience. So those are, I love the way that Zoom does that. It's brilliant, isn't it? Puts my thumbs up. So audience number one is what I would call your maintenance audience. So those are people that are probably already in the church, connected to the church, maybe the lazy church people or whatever, but they already have a decent connection with you. They're not going anywhere. They're consuming content that you're putting out there. They're loving your live stream, all of those kind of things. And to them, it's about being part of something. So that's maintenance. The second one I would say is what I call ministry. And that's maybe people that are on the outskirts of the church, or maybe geographically are, you know, looking for a church in your area, or perhaps have a deeper need for discipleship. Or, you know, for them, that audience, maybe it's more about actually the content and what you're saying and how you're then offering them the chance to interact and get prayer and get ministry and those kind of things. So you've got your ministry audience. And then the third audience is what I call the missional audience. And that could be anyone, anywhere, who doesn't have any kind of relationship with Jesus or the church, and they're looking, they're hungry for something. They're hungry for a deeper meaning in their lives. And that's your missional audience. So those are kind of my broad brush audiences. I think most churches are going to be looking at one of those when it comes to serving their digital ministry.
Yeah, I would think every church would have a percentage in each of those areas. I know, you know, one of the stats that I quote from a while back was you're talking about the missional group, and that manifests itself in new members in the church. So we have at our church, we have a new members class. And one of the common questions they ask is, how did you find the church? And it was like 80% of the people were, I found them online. I went onto a live service. I saw that this church was healthy for me and it was a good fit. And so I decided to walk through the door eventually. And then now I've committed to membership. And that story was very common. So I guess that's, you know, so you have these different audiences, and I assume depending on the audience you want to emphasize, you're going to have a different strategy. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, exactly. So I like to, I'm full of analogies. So I am Mr. Analogy. But a great analogy that I like to consider when it comes to the audience that you're trying to reach is like if your house. So it's a good way of seeing this. So let's say you have some friends coming around for dinner tonight, or you know, your family are coming around for dinner tonight or whatever. So that's your, in my terms, that would be your maintenance. Those are people already connecting to you. They know who you are. They know what to expect when they come in, all of those kind of things. So you've got your maintenance audience. They're the people that know. So in terms of the house, you may go through and do a quick tidy up, maybe a quick hook around with the Hoover and, you know, kind of, you know, clean the bathroom up a little bit. But you're not that bothered because the people that are coming in kind of know you. You know, it's casual. They're kind of like they're in a good place. So that's you don't have to do too much to keep those people with you. When it comes to the next level up, which is the ministry audience, it's kind of like having people that maybe you know a little bit, but you're not that friendly with coming around to the house. And it's like, well, actually, we want to create a good impression. We want to make sure all of the kids' toys are tidied away. We want to get all of the junk out of the living room. We want seats that people can sit on rather than piles of books on them. You know, so you do a bit more of a deep dive. You definitely clean the kind of the bathroom up as well and all of those kind of things. So you take more time over the preparation and things. So in terms of digital ministry, that audience needs to have a higher level of quality engagement because actually they're not sure. They, you know, it needs to be something that they can really see is good for them, if you know what I mean. And then your final one, the missional one, is the way I equate that is actually you're trying to sell your house. You want to sell the house and move somewhere else. Well, in that case, you may do a complete spring clean every part of the house, paint the walls up, do all of those DIY projects that you've never got around to do, and all of that, and make the house really attractive. And that's, I think, what we have to do if we're mainly targeting a missional audience. We have to do something that when people look at it, and you guys know this from, I'm sure, the churches that you talk at, if someone doesn't get grabbed by your content, if they don't know you within that first, you know, kind of 30 seconds, you've lost them. They're on somewhere else. So you have to pitch everything. If you're going after that audience, quality is vital. Content is critical. And the way you present all of that is really, really important as well. So that's why I think it's really important that we define who our audience is, because then it really informs everything else that we do.
That's a great analogy. Hey, we're running out of time here. Let me just jump in here real quick. And we're talking about the digital ministry assessment. And there's people listening to this, Graham, and they're thinking, all right, well, maybe I should take this. So how can they take it? Where do they go to take this assessment, this digital ministry assessment?
Okay, so it's an online tool. So it's digitalministryassessment.com. is the website for it. So you go on there. It, as I say, it will take about 10 to 15 minutes, and you fill that in and you answer the questions. And it's not like you have to come up with detailed answers or whatever. Everything's graded on a, how would you grade yourself, 1 to 5 on each of these things. So it's a really easy thing to do. I do advise to take some time and do it, thoughtfully as well, because you're going to get a report that actually is tailored to you. So you want to get the benefit out of that. You really want to know where you sit on all of this. So you go through, you do the assessment, put your email address in at the end, and then the report comes to you completely free. It's about a 22-page report, goes through each of the areas, what your what each of those areas is all about, where you fit. And as I say, the helpful hints and tips as well that can give you the next steps to take in each of those areas that you can then improve what you're doing. Because it's we all want to get better. And that's really the aim of the assessment tool is, all right, where are you today and how can we help you get better? I would just mention one thing that a number of people have said to us is, this is fantastic, but how do I do this? It's like, so we give them the hints and tips, but how do I actually do this? So one of the things we do is we offer a call with people, but we're also working on a e-course that will go alongside the assessment that people can basically do the e-course and understand how to implement the things that they figured out. It's not ready yet, but if you do the assessment, we'll let you know as soon as the e-course is available to buy. So, we're working on that, and we're about 2/3 of the way through.
So one of the things that's becoming apparent to me, it seems like the average church is doing everything backwards, it's for they're going out and buying equipment. And doing, and then going from there. Whereas it seems like there's probably a logical flow through this. I mean, in my mind, correct me if I'm wrong, I would think you would kind of start with audience and kind of figure out, what's my audience or where I want to be, where I want to go. And then I would put together a strategy, I would assume. And some of the other things I'd start doing later, right? I got my strategy figured out. And if I'm 100% focused on the missional crew, that may have an influence on what equipment I buy, what team I put together. Do I want the techie guys or do I want the graphic artists? So is that, elaborate on that.
That's an exact summary. I think you're 100% right with what you said there. Most churches have got it backwards. Now that, I think that's mainly because they were reacting to what happened. So it's not a, this isn't a negative, churches are getting it wrong. I'm not saying that. It's like, all right, we did what we did and we got through COVID and that's great. But if we keep doing the same thing, we're going to keep getting the same results. Now I think it's the time to think, all right, we know we have to be involved in digital online ministry, whatever that is. It's increasing all the time. We have to do something to meet people in that online space. But now's the time to look at what that looks like for you as a church as you move forward. And you're 100% right. A lot of people have gone out, they've bought gear, they've got people around them. But I think one of the things that I'm seeing increasingly is that the leadership's frustrated because it's not really doing what they want it to do anymore. But they've spent all of this money, they've got all of the gear, but it's not actually that hard to go through the process and figure out, actually, what could we do that's different from what we're doing, but based on, all right, who do we want to reach? What's our strategy for reaching them? What do we want to say? The content piece that we communicate to them. Therefore, who do I need around me to develop that content, deliver that content? And then finally, great, I've got all of that worked out. What gear do I need? So you're 100% right that most churches have gone the gear route. They built a team and they're like, now what? Yeah. That's really what we're talking about is flipping that around.
And there's probably a big opportunity as well with churches, because right now there was like, well, I got to stream my service. So I put a camera in the back and I stream the service, right? And I'm just streaming what's going on in the building, as opposed to if I want to address a particular audience, I may change the way I put the content together, And is yep. how would it, there may be, what are some options with the content?
Well, I mean, so I'll give you an example. So I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with a friend of mine who's doing an online streaming service. And he asked me to take a look at it and give him a critique on it and stuff as well. So I did that. And one of the things that I noticed is that the quality actually of what he's doing is well lit. It's simple. So he's not doing anything difficult. You know, so he's doing something that he can do now, which is really good. But there's these big blocks of time that actually has like just nothing in it. So dead time on air is tune out immediately. So one of the things I recommended to him was, do you need to live stream your service? Or could you actually record it and cut it down and edit it into a much better product that will be much more effective for your audience? Now, he basically said to me, actually, we live stream because we've got people in our in our church who can't be there because of ill health, and we want to serve them. So I was like, all right, keep live streaming. You've thought through the who your audience is and why you want to do it, and that's absolutely fine. But for some churches, that might not be a priority. For the lazy Christians, maybe that isn't a priority. And actually, you could produce a much better service by not live streaming it, but by cutting it down. Or, and I know we were short on time a while ago, but the other thing is, have you thought about creating story video and using that in social media feeds and online feeds and those kind of things that actually would be much more, and this, please, Pastor, if you're listening to this, don't take this personally, but a 3-minute story video that would be actually much better and more effective than a 30-minute sermon at getting a point across. So again, it's thinking through what's the right strategy and the right approach for me. And you're 100% right in what you're saying. It doesn't always have to look the same for every church.
Yeah, and you could do both. I mean, you could still live stream and then take that content and edit it and cut it down and put it on social media and put it on your website and those kind of things.
100%. And that way you reach different audiences. So you're absolutely right. And you mentioned earlier, I think at the start, about podcasting and your one-click button for podcasting. That's a fantastic way to reach a different audience again as well. So I love what you guys are doing here to allow churches the kind of the facilities and the technology piece that they need to actually make these things work. So, there's multiple ways of reaching people. It just needs to be thought through, and the strategy piece and the audience piece really considered.
Yeah. All right. So we're way over time, but this is good. This is okay. It's okay to go a little over time sometimes. And but I do want to reiterate that if people want to take this assessment, it's a free assessment. They can go to digitalministryassessment.com, and that gets the ball rolling. And then people can connect with you and get some information there. All right, good. All right, so we're out of time here, but we do appreciate everybody spending a little bit of time with us. Graham Spencer has been our guest today, and we're glad to have you here with us again, Graham. Thank you so much for your time.
It's been my pleasure, and I've really enjoyed it. And as I say, I love what you guys are doing to help the church be more effective in this area as well.
All right. And Steve Lacy, of course, has been with us. Steve, thank you for your input. And folks, check out our sponsor, DailyDive365.com. And Graham alluded to the easy button for transforming your sermons into podcast. Well, that's something that the DailyDive365.com can do. And check it out if you get a chance. All right, we're out of time. I'm Phil Thompson on behalf of the whole team here. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of your time with us today on the Church Solutions Podcast. Be sure and subscribe to us. Give us a rating if you can. And catch us again on another episode. Please take care of yourself and each other. And we'll catch you again soon.